On page 460, Pasik Tazvav, Od Hayarish Avi Loch, Yesheves More Shah. I will bring upon you the Yoresh. In other words, there's going to be someone that's going to come and possess your land. They're going to occupy your land. Ad Adulam Yavoy Kvoid Yisrael, until Adulam will come the Kvoid Yisrael. Let's read one more pasuk. We'll see the mitzvahs inside. Karchi v'goyzi, this is an expression you have in the kinois very often. Karchi v'goyzi, pull out your hair, v'goyzi. Al b'nei ta'an du goyich, over your children, over the loss of your children, which are the delight of your eyes. Harchivi kor choseich kanesher, widen your bald spot like a nesher. Now, nesher, we always like to translate as an eagle, but we know it cannot possibly be an eagle. We'll see a little bit later.
Yeah, okay, well, it would be a bald eagle.
Yeah, okay, but Nesher, Chazal say that a Nesher does not have any simonim that would make it kosher. A Nesher, the Torah lists 24 birds that are not kosher. And Chazal say 20 of them have only one simon of it being non-kosher. There are four possible simonim, and I've got all the details, but the point is that the Nesher has simonim, which the Torah lists, and the Chazal said Nesher does not have even one sign of it being kosher. And the problem is the Nesher does have a sign of being kosher, and that it has an extra finger. So it's impossible, according to most of the commentators, for the Nesher to be what we call the eagle. I think they more accurately say it's something more of a vulture. A Nesher fits more in line with what we know today as a vulture, but even that, it's not necessarily so. But whatever it is over here, we'll discuss what it means over here, the bald spot. The bald eagle, we call the bald eagle. There's a variety of eagles called the bald eagle, kigalu mimech, because their children have been exiled from you. We just said words. Let's go over the details inside. Pasik Tezvav in the Mitzvot Zdavon, page 460. Ad Oid Hayoresh. Oid Olayich Moresha. What does that mean? Avi Hayoresh Es Haaretz. I will bring upon you, the residents, the citizens of the city called Moresha, a Yoresh. Who is the Yoresh in this context? Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar will come and swoop down and will conquer Eretz Yisrael, will conquer Yerushalayim. One of the cities, Alderch Pshat, is the city called Moresha. He will come, he will descend with Nebuchadnezzar, Kigam Oisach Yirosh, he will possess you as well. Vigam hu lashon hanoifal lashon. This over here is a play on the words. As you notice, the entire Perek Mikra is playing with words. Every expression, he takes the name of a city and he finds a word in his vocabulary that's very similar and he puts it together to express an idea that there's going to be a conquest. The name of the city is Moresha. The Es Hayoresh Yavi Hashem will bring upon him a Yoresh. Now, obviously, it's not a real Yoresh because a Yoresh means it's within his right. A Yoresh means he is an heir. He is a descendant of the person who owned it previously. Esav has no rights over Eretz Yisrael, unless you want to say an idea that we're going back to the firstborn right. If we want to suggest the idea that Esav here is coming to claim that indeed I am the Yoresh. In other words, who was the land given to? It was not given to Yaakov. The land was given to Avraham Avinu. Avraham gave it over to his son Yitzchak, and not Yishmael. And now Yitzchak is giving it over to Yaakov. But there's a condition. The condition is that Yaakov is deserving of this Yerusha. And the whole dispute between Esav and Yaakov is, Esav says, I was fooled. I sold the firstborn right, not realizing what I did. It was a toss, it was a mistake. And furthermore, Yaakov Avinu, when he took the brachos from our father Yitzchak, he took it in disguise. So the claim of Esav is a very, very, very painful claim. It's not just that Esav says, listen, in the world there are wars and the winner gets all. It's more than that. I am the Yoresh. In other words, they come to us. What's our claim? A religious Jew, when there's an issue in Eretz Yisrael. So we've all heard every possible argument you can make, every possible argument in dealing with the Palestinians and the Arab nations, and they say to us, what are you doing here in this land? You're occupiers. What right do you have to come and to possess our land? We've been living here all along.
So,
listim atem, exactly. The first Rashi in Chumash, listim atem. What are you doing here? But this is talking modern terms, in the modern day. Before we go back, listim atem, you can really use that as an argument going back to the time of the kibush, the first kibush of the Bayis Rishon. But let's talk today in modern terms. The goyim say to us, for the last 72 years, what are you doing here? You're a bunch of listim in the modern day. So we've heard in the last 72 years every possible argument. Those who are not into religion or do not want to use religion will say, listen, in the world there's something called war, and the winner takes all. We went to war, you started up with us, we have a right to defend ourselves, we have a right to live also, we have a right, and the United Nations came to our defense and acknowledged that the Jews have a right to have a homeland. They gave it to us, so get lost. Get lost. That is one argument. Then there is the religious argument. And the religious argument is, read the Bible. Go read the Bible. We're not going to discuss war and politics and anti-Semitism, v'chulu, Holocaust. Read the Bible. The Bible says that Hashem has given Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham has passed it down to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak gave it to Yaakov. And we are the descendants of Yaakov. That's where it starts and that's where it stops. You know who really liked that argument based upon what I've read, my very limited knowledge? Jimmy Carter, he was very much influenced by that argument. Much more so than... Yeah. Read the Bible. Now he became pathetically now. But when he was president, there are a lot of you have to read up on this. Maybe I'm wrong. Now it's pathetic where he stands in this matter. But in his 4 years of presidency, his speeches were about the Bible, about the Jews. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Okay, maybe I'm making a mistake. This lingers in my mind. All right,
but,
so let's
get
fine.
Bible believers, it is accepted.
This is an argument where if you want to follow a religious approach to the state of Israel, even among the goyim, and Rebbe Chol knows this to be a fact, because Rebbe Chol is very involved in advocacy on behalf of Klal Yisrael. What?
I've seen it. Well, the evangelical Christians. Well,
I've seen it.
Absolutely. So this is an idea. So here is what's this. The pasuk here comes to life. That if you want, when we talk to the goyim in terms of war, and in terms of politics and Holocaust and suffering and human rights, so they have a lot what to say to us. They have a rebuttal. That's not our discussion. And when we likewise tell them the religious approach, this is their response. You're the Yoyresh. We're the Yoyresh. Who was the firstborn of Yitzchak? Esav. Esav is the Bechor. You're right. We believe in the Bible. God gave the land to Abraham. Abraham gave it to Isaac. And Isaac now has the firstborn. The firstborn is who? Is Esav. We are the descendants of Esav. We are the Yoyresh. And don't tell me that Esav he sold the firstborn right. It was a mekachtos.
You know anyone who claims that?
The pasuk is claiming this. Aoy de hayoresh avi loch. I will bring upon you the yoresh. Now, that's not the context of this pasuk, at least according to the Mitzudos Dov, because he puts the word Nevuchadnezzar into the picture, which is the Bayis Rishon, and the Bayis Rishon Nevuchadnezzar is not a descendant of Esav, but the Bayesheni, what is relevant for us, is a descendant of Esav, and the psukim are always to be interpreted on multiple layers, and when you want to go put this in the context of the modern times, it's very disturbing to read the word Yoyresh. The Goyim are not a Yoyresh. They're a bunch of thugs. They're coming here to take away what is ours. How then can the pasuk be so inaccurate and use the word yoresh and expect us to be poetic and to say what it says here, yoresh? It doesn't necessarily mean you're a biological heir to the land. It means someone who takes possession. Someone who takes possession. You're acting like you're an heir. It's a very forced translation by all accounts. But when you want to go put this in context of the Churban Bayis Sheni, and you look at the Roman Empire who destroyed the Bayis Sheni, what really, in essence, are they saying to Klal Yisrael? And this, I mean, I can't go tell you chapter and verse who said what and when, but it's certainly a theme that comes out in Chazal is that when Klal Yisrael is not behaving, HaKol Kol Yaakov HaYedai Midei Esav, Bizman SheHaKol Kol Yaakov, then it's an antidote against the Yedai Midei Esav. But there's not going to be a Kol Kol Yaakov, then Esav comes to the front and says, why Yaakov? I'm the Bechor. And this, that Yaakov Avinu, he bought the Bechor for a pot of lentils, that wouldn't stand in a court of law. It's not so simple. In a court of law, you go and you make a claim. There was a story, I read from the Chofetz Chaim, there was an incident, a very, very great person, very wealthy person. He left over all of his money, I think it was to the Volozhiner Yeshiva, every penny that he had. He wrote a will and he left it over to the Volozhiner Yeshiva for real. For real. He says, children have enough, they make a parnasa, all his wealth goes to support Torah. He died. The children went and said, it's our Yerusha. The children, even though they were religious people, they were good people. But they said, we don't want all of our father's wealth to go to support Torah. So the yeshiva said, he wrote a will. It's signed in ink. This is as legal as it gets. No hanky-panky here. This is the real deal. It says here that he gave all of his assets to the yeshiva. So the son said, he must have been not in his right mind. He must have had dementia, Alzheimer's when he did this, because we don't care. That's not normal. And the truth was, he was 100% sincere in giving all of his wealth to support Torah. He felt that his children had more than they need. So they went to court, and the judge said, what normal person in their right mind would give away all of their money to support some bench warmers after he dies? What person in their right mind would do such a thing? It has to be as a given that the father was not in his right mind when he made this will. He was manipulated. And therefore the judge ordered that the will is null and void, and the default is the children get all of the money. So the Chofetz Chaim recorded the story, and the Chofetz Chaim said, from this you learn that if a person wants to give away his money for tzedakah after he dies, make sure you do when you're alive. When you have power, it's within your power to do so. Because once a person leaves this world, good morning, and it's not in your power, you have no guarantee that your desires, your will be executed according to your liking. So what do you learn from that story? That when you have a situation where there's a deal that's made with 100% clarity and certainty, it doesn't necessarily last, endure, if in the eyes of the world, it doesn't make sense. So here you have a story that Esav is coming home from hunting. He's very, very hungry, and he sees some lentils. And Yaakov Avinu is preparing a mourner's meal. And Esav is weak, and Esav says, "Can you give me the lentils?" And Yaakov says, "If you'll sell me your right to be the Bechor, to be the spiritual heir to our father, to our legacy of Avraham and Yitzchak." And Esav says, "Yeah, why not? Hinei, every whatever, even Hinei Anochi Holy Chlamos." So he swore. A word is a word by Esav. Who cares? They swear every day. What they swear like a sailor. He just went out. This was also Esav. He came from murder, Gil Yarayas, Avodah Zarah. He just came from a hard day of work, of being Isaac in Alagut Zachim. So his word means something. So years later, when he'll go to court and argue in court, you know, I was deathly ill. I was weak. I just had a battle with Nimrod, and I was not in my right mind. I was under medication. I was tired, and I sold the firstborn right. Believe me, a court of law, even if we were the judges, would very likely say this transaction is null and void. So it's a very delicate matter. It requires emunah. It requires being yoyrei l'soif daita. What was Esav really thinking? The gemira stas. And then, of course, stealing the bechor with Rivka. That's totally off the charts. When he comes and says, "Are you my son? Are you my son Esav?" And he says, "Yes." Basically, I mean, you know, Rashi twists it, but basically, he said, "Yes, I am." So that's not called a mekachtos. So the answer is it's not. That's right, it's not a mekachtos. Because Chazal, the yoyrei l'soif ha'inyan, they delve down into exactly what was taking place. And we have emunas chacham, that's right. This was fair and square, 100% correct. But you know, in the world, it doesn't work like that. Ki atem hama'at mikol ho'amim. So when Esav comes to Eretz Yisrael, when when Titus, the time of the Bayis Sheni, comes and says, "What are you doing here? This is my land. I am the Bechor." Then the word here in the pasuk makes a lot of sense. Oid hayoyresh avi loch yosheves moresha. It's not going to fit in the time of the Bayis Rishon, but it does fit into the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, where Esav comes as, "I am the Yoyresh. If you want to talk to me in religious terms and tell me to read the Bible, that's right, I'll read the Bible." And in the Bible it says, "I am the Yoyresh." And Hashem is not going to stop him, because there's a condition in the transaction, which Chazal emphasized in many different ways, is this whole sale really was conditional. And the condition of the sale is Hakol Kol Yaakov. When you are, this whole sale was executed in a very delicate way, in order indeed that there should be an escape clause, that in the event that Klal Yisrael is not keeping their part, then that's right. Then Esav can come and make a claim that he is the Yoyresh and cause us great harm, which unfortunately we all know too well how much harm he has caused and continues to do. So this is one drush.
Ruben Nisan adds to this to make the argument on Esav's case is that after he stole the Bechor, what happened to Klal Yisrael? They went into Golus for 200 years.
Rashi says, right.
And Bnei Esav was growing, waxing, and growing unbelievably, very successful. And that's why the first answer in Shemos, when God points Moshe to be the Shliach, he says to them, "Don't think that way," because Bnei Yisrael had that on their mind as well. So God says to Moshe, "B'ni Bechori Yisrael."
B'ni Bechori, right, exactly.
That I'm thinking.
Beautiful.
Is
Hashem reaffirms that the sale was a valid sale.
Right.
It's a reoccurring.
It's
beautiful.
Thing.
That was the first thing Hashem said to Moshe. Yeah. B'ni Bechori Yisrael. Klal Yisrael should not think that everything is batul and mevutul, because the whole transaction and sale was all very questionable. It is very questionable. Why? Because there is a condition. The condition is Hakol Kol Yaakov. It's a reoccurring theme in Chazal. We are the Bechor. And we being the Bechor requires many things. It requires emunah, and it requires our being faithful to our responsibility. And this theme is going back and forth. And that opens up a whole new parish in this pasuk of Oid Hayoresh Avi Loch Yosheves Mo Resha. Maresha,
my father,
excellent. I didn't pay attention. There's a Krivach Siv. Beautiful, beautiful. Rav Kalman is saying a very powerful idea over here. What is the Krivach Siv? The way it's written in the Pasuk is Avi, without the Aleph, which allows it to be read my father. Avi.
Right.
Avi Rechav Yisrael. Okay, the word Avi is father. So why is it saying over here, and are we having a Siv where it says father, but we read it, Avi I will bring, possibly Rav Kalman is suggesting to allude, I am the Yoyresh. A Yoyresh means you have a father. Who is my father? My father is Yitzchak. and therefore I am the firstborn, it's mine, what are you doing in my land? Why are you occupying my land? It's very, very interesting. Today, it's interesting that today in America, they're not interested. They're not interested in occupying Baruch Hashem. They are interested, though, in dictating policy. So that might be even a greater expression of possession. Okay, America, you know, they don't do anything in Israel unless they get a feedback. Well, what does America think? That's the way it is. They're obsessed with America. So although Esav is not today trying to physically conquer Eretz Yisrael, you can argue very strongly is that they are coming to conquer Eretz Yisrael as far as policy, public policy, as far as law, democracy, hashkafa, how things should be done in the Middle East. Which one is stronger, to live in the land or to tell you what to do in the land? One can argue telling you what to do can be even more possessive than actually physically living in the land. The one that's trying to take the land away is Yishmael. But Yishmael, the truth is, Yishmael would take away America also. It's not a matter of Eretz Yisrael. If Yishmael could, they would destroy it. If you would give Yishmael Eretz Yisrael, he could have a whole Eretz Yisrael. Do you think they would be satisfied?
Never.
The next thing they would say is, you're occupying America. What are the Americans occupying? Occupying North America? Get out. It's ours. Ours.
First, there's Europe first.
What? First Europe?
First Europe.
Probably America. No, they like America.
They're halfway. Manhattan still belongs to the Indians because they sold it for $24.
$8. I thought it was $8.
$24.
It's the only legal part of the United States. That's why you're the Hatzlach. Look at the Hatzlach in Manhattan. The financial center. That was all right. You're right. It's a good point. Yes, it is true. Louisiana
purchase.
Okay, let's go further. Now, let's go further in the Mitzvot Stavim. Now, what does it mean, Adulam? Okay, Ad Adulam Yavoy Kevoid Yisrael. Now, what does it mean, Adulam? It's the same name of a place. What does it mean, Kevoid? Milas Hayoresh.
Remember that name from somewhere?
Yes, Ishwa Adulami. Yehuda had a friend. Yehuda had a friend called the Ish Hoadulami. Chiram Ish Hoadulami. What is a real friend? I always like to say over the spark, what's a real friend? So Avigdor Miller, he says, a real friend is someone who teaches you how to make money. You would not expect that from a Rosh Hashiva. Right? Someone who is so kind, who is willing to spend time with you on his own to teach you how to make money.
Or to give you money.
No, not give you money. Giving money is shameful. Shameful. You become a dependent. And then what happens when he doesn't have any money, when he runs out of money? Where do you stand? It's pathetic. It's mamish pathetic. People who become dependents.
You give someone fish or to teach them
how to fish. Someone who's willing to spend with you time and to teach you how to make money, that's a real friend. Okay, but there's another answer for what's called a real friend. A real friend is someone to whom you can confess your worst averos. Do you have anyone that you know that you can tell them your worst sins? Yehuda did a terrible thing. He lived with a zoner. He went out to the street. He saw this woman covered in a shmata, Tamar, and he asked her to do an Aveira. And she agreed. And he gave her the simonim, he gave her the mata, the psilim, the chesemes, and he did a terrible Aveira. It's a tremendous stain on the stature of Yehuda to do something like this. And what happened? What happened when it was over? He sent Chira, Ishua Dulami, his friend, to retrieve the zona. Go to the zona. She's on the Parashas Derachim, and here and give her the sheep, and get back my signet ring, and my staff, and my cloak. So you don't think that's who would do that? To go and say, "Do me, I did a crime, and I want you to help me cover up my crime." That means I'm revealing to you, I'm the Gadol Hadar, and I was Mizane with a Zona. Who would do that? Okay, who would do that? The average person would just say, we do nothing. And then if she reveals that she has a signet ring, he would say, oh, she's a ganav, or someone found this and stole it and got into her hands. He could easily crush her. And yet, he went and he told his friend, his Avera, and he asked him to help him with it. That's a real friend. If you are so close with a person where you're comfortable revealing your darkest secrets, wow, that's a real friend. You trust that person. So here we're coming to allude ad adulam yavoi kivoid Yisrael. There are many interpretations to this expression. First, the Mitzvah says, ad adulam yavoi kivoid Yisrael milas hayaresh mishamesh espisham. First, we have to know we're repeating the word. That's very common. It's as if the Pasuk says the word od hayaresh avi. Loch, repeat it twice. It says od hayaresh avi loch yosheves moresha. And nochemol. Od hayaresh avilach ad adulam. We're repeating the expression. It's meant to be repeated twice, that the yoresh will come until the city of Adulam, which also appears to be a Jewish city in Eretz Yisrael, in Yehuda. Milas hayaresh mishamesh b'shtayim v'ritzoyna loymar. Ad ir adulam yavo hayaresh. Now what does it mean over here? The kivoid Yisrael, ki es kol ha'aretz yikach im kivoid ha'oyshev yahamim shalom. Now this is a very controversial parish, he says. What is called honor? Honor, he learns here, is money. Kivoid Yisrael is the money of Klal Yisrael. This is what the enemy will possess. The honor of a country is their economy. A country that has a successful economy is honored. It's like a yeshiva dinner. It's like opening up a Jewish newspaper and you see all of the institutions that are making dinners and whose picture is it? People that give all the money. The kavod Yisrael, the kavod is money. So that's exactly what it says over here. What's very interesting is that when Shiloh was conquered and Hophni and Pinchas were killed in battle and Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of I think it was, I don't even remember, it was Hophni or Pinchas. So she, when they heard that the Oroin was captured by the Pelishtim, and Hophni and Pinchas died, so she was in labor, and she, the shock, the horror, that the Oroin of the Mishkan Shiloh was conquered, was captured, caused her to prematurely go into labor. It caused so much pain, it triggered a premature birth. And she died in this birth, and she named her baby E-Kovoid. Why did she name the baby E-Kovoid? It means not, negative, minus sign, minus Kovoid. Golo Kovoid mi Yisrael. What was the Kovoid she was referring to? Not money. The Oroin, the Shechina, the Oroin was captured. So that's a very beautiful, it's a very horrific event, but yet in the horror, look at the correct attitude. The real covet of Klal Yisrael is not the money. It is the Shechina. It is the fact that Klal Yisrael is the Merkava for Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he rests his divine presence on Klal Yisrael, and this horror is what caused her to prematurely give birth and to die in birth. And likewise, Eli fell backwards, and he also died in shock. And the expression was "Golo Kovoid Mi Yisrael." Okay, that's also. I always like to say that's what you say in the Elit Zion. Elit Zion V'Arecha Kimoi Isha Bivtzireha. Like a woman, Zion, you shall wail and moan and cry, Kimoi, like in Isha. Bivtzireha, like a woman who is in labor pains. What woman are we talking about? What woman? Who's the woman? This theoretical woman? This invisible woman, this mystical woman? Give me an example. Show me who the woman is. K'moy Isha Bivtzireha is the daughter-in-law of Eli HaKoyen. Eli HaKoyen's daughter-in-law, when she heard ki nishba Aron Hashem, that the Aron of Hashem was conquered, she went into labor. And she cried. And she was in excruciating pain. Ad kidei kach, she died. And what did she say? Gola kavod mi Yisrael. The attitude at the end of Tisha B'Av is not money. It's not new. We're in Golas, so we're poor. We have parnasa problems, this problem, that problem. Problem with all the different lists of problems, the encyclopedia of problems that we have. That's not what it's all about. When the kinnas are over, it's elit zion v'yorecha ma'isha b'v'surecha. The goal, the end of the day is, the tsar of the korban is, gola kavod mi Yisrael. And what is the kavod? The orain, the shechina, the hashuras hashechina. That's the tsar of Tisha B'Av, the 9 days, Tishrei Rosh Chodesh Av. That's what it's all about. So here, it's very shocking that the Mitzudos David, it's not shocking, there's Derech is always the pshat, the most simplistic pshat in the Pasuk, Yavoi ad adulam Yavoi kivoid Yisrael. And he learns the Pasuk, will come the loss. Yavo over here, he's adding words into the Pasuk, is that the enemy will conquer the land, and they will take away all of their wealth, their assets, which is the kivoid Yisrael. Just to read those last words one more time, the wealth, the hamimshala and authority, the malchus of Klal Yisrael will go down the drain. It will be conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. Interesting, Yosef, when he tells, there are two words, kavod. Sometimes in the Torah, the word kavod is spelled mole, and sometimes it's spelled choser, without a vav. With a vav and without a vav. Notice here, it's spelled with a vav. This goes against one of the very popular drushim, is that there is a question, what's the pshat that Yosef HaTzadik, when he finally was reunited with his brothers and instructed them to go back to their father and tell their father, reveal to our father es kol kivoidi, all of my honor. What does that mean? Go tell dad, I struck it rich. I came down to Egypt, I found gold. What does that mean? Go tell my father all of my honor. Really, is that the way Yosef HaTzadik talks? So the commentators there take note that there in that pasuk it says the word kavod with a vav. And back in previously, I don't remember all the details now, back previously when it talks about loit, loit, kavod me'oid, kavod, no, and it goes... So it says the word kavod.
Right.
Now there's the word, then there's another word. I see, I'm forgetting the details, but the word, here it says kaved. Kaved is not the same as kavoid. Kaved means he's way down, but there might be another pasuk that I'm referring to, I'm not remembering exactly, but the commentators, they emphasize there is a kavoid with a vav and a kavoid without a vav. When you're dealing with money, the honor a person receives in this world is built upon wealth, and that's why they're Avraham. Kaved Ma'od. Not by Lot?
No.
Okay, wherever. So there, when a person, there's a kavod and a kaved. When and what's the difference? The vav. The vav. And so I think also there are times where it says the word kavod without a vav. When you don't have a vav, then even though you could pronounce it kavod, you don't need the vav. The vav isn't really in the vowel.
I think what you're meaning, because the pasuk after that says begam lo ha'olechas avram ha'yotzonu b'kar v'yovalim, but Avram it doesn't say ha'yotzonu b'kar v'yovalim.
Okay.
It just says be'avram kavod
v'yovalim. Kavod. So let's work with that pasuk. Kavod. Kavod means what? Way down with money, everything. So really, it's an honorable term. Person is loaded to the hilt. He doesn't even know what to do himself. What to do with himself? He has so much money. But the truth is, it's a burden. If a person has enormous assets and has no tafkid, has no goal in life, what to do with the assets, any value, any values, so what do all of his assets do for him? Just a burden. Just a burden. Where to go, what to do today, tomorrow, how to spend the money. Marbe nechas marbedaya. So it has no value. But if a person has kavod with a vav, that means spiritual honor. And it can mean wealth also, provided that the purpose of the wealth is all to serve Hashem, is all to do good in this world, to do Hashem's will. So it's interesting here, it says, Yavoy kavod, kivod Yisrael. The kavod over here is mole. It's a full-fledged of kavod, and the Mitzvahs, at least he learns that it refers to money. But we'll see, obviously, the interpretations. No, it's not the shva. The word, there's two words, kavod and kaved. Kaved does not have a va. It's a different vowel, tsere, under the base. So what's the... That's only a grammatical point because of the smichos, yavoy kivoyd Yisrael. Nothing to do with that. It's only because where it's positioned in this passage, so you have to put it shva kivoyd. But just look at the word in its purest form. There's a word kavoyd and there's a word kaved. And they both really mean the same thing. Honor. What is honor? Honor means that you are heavily loaded. You're way down with wealth, with assets, with money, with everything you can possibly want in this world. But there's a difference. The difference is it mole or choser? If a person is a multi-trillionaire and has everything you possibly want, but has no values in life, the truth is, it's a burden. Why is choser? He's choser. What is he choser? He's choser morals. He's choser values.
But this is mole.
Exactly. So I'm just point. Exactly. I'm just. No, you're right. That's exactly what I'm making. Over here, the Mitzvah Stav, for whatever reason, is translating the words simply as money. But take note, the word kavod is a very powerful word. Okay, there's the kisei ha-kavod. You don't throw around the word kavod lightly. It's not a word you just, you know, we just like a. It's not a simple word. What exactly is honor? Honor is not honor. Honor is something very, is something spiritual. It's something which is in the Olam HaEmes. It's a world where the currency of Olam HaEmes is kavod. Mr. Rills told me that a certain thing he saw is where people currency is time. Okay, time is currency. Instead of paying with money, person comes into this world. You have time. You have an allotment of time. So if you work hard, you earn time. And if you want to buy something, you pay by giving time. Can you imagine that such a concept, such a principle of living in this world, and instead of buying and selling with assets, with money, you can buy and sell with
this
time?
This is the pasuk by law. I knew it's in my head. Yeah. It's called Akavod Azeh.
Lokach, here it is. Okay, Dr. Rabinovsky found the pasuk that I was looking for. Here's the pasuk. The pasuk is in Perek Lamed Aleph. Perek Lamed Aleph, first pasuk. Vayishma es divrei bnei lovin lemor. Lokach Yaakov eis kol asher li avinu. Vomi asher li avinu osa eis kol hakavod hazeh. And in this pasuk, the word kavod is spelled without a vav. We read it the same way. Kavod. We read it that Me'asher Levinu, they said about Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov, he stole all of our father's wealth. He took away all of our father's kavod. And the way they use the word kavod is the kavod. The way they use the word kavod is without a vav. Without a vav. And elsewhere, we usually use the word kavod with a vav. So what is it? With a vav, without a vav? The answer is, without a vav, it's choser. It's a burden. It may appear to the naked eye that you're a billionaire, and everyone comes, bows down to you for your money, but the truth is, this guy is just a big burden on society. He's a burden on society, even with all his money, because he doesn't have any values, any beliefs. Nothing means anything to him. We have to just deal with him and tolerate him. But a person who has kavoid, Mole, with a vav, he has something spirit. He has the real deal. He has the spiritual essence. It's a different currency. The Olam HaEmes currency is honor. Okay, it's, in this world, the true currency that, our, that Mr. Marillis said is really time. There's nothing more valuable in this world than time. Time is the ultimate asset in this world, not money. Okay, time. Use money to buy time, to buy free time to do good things, to learn, to daven, to spend with your family, not to be locked up the whole day somewhere. Time is the most valuable asset. In the Olam HaEmes, the most valuable asset, and we have no idea what this means, is it's kavod. It's a world of kavod, and that means we really don't have any understanding. And there's a kavod that's mole and a kavod that's choser. Here we have a frightening pasuk. Micha's telling us the day of reckoning is coming. The Yoresh is going to arrive. He's going to conquer the city called Moresha. He's going to conquer the city called Adulam. And he's going to take away the Kavod Yisrael. What does that mean? He's going to take away the Kavod Yisrael. So the Mitzvah Shad says, we're going to be paupers. They're going to steal our assets. Okay, it's pshat. You have to learn the pasuk, pshuta shel mikra. That is a definite requirement, not to get carried away in drush. Let's go to the next pasuk first. Pasuk to Zion the Mitzvah Savit. Karchi v'goizi. Rip out your hair. Rip out your hair. Til she se'ar roshech. Pull it out. V'goizi zi oisam b'misparayim derech tzar v'evil. There are two ways to take out hair. Two different words. Karchi means to pull out with your bare hands. And goizi means to use a tool, an implement. Scissors. So two different ways to pull out hair. Al, why would a person want to do this? Rachman al-Islam, because of the loss of children. Al derech tzar, ve'evil al bonayich hamifunakim. What? Karcha b'raisham. A person dies, is prohibited to make a bald spot. For, and here it says, for what? Who's dying? Al bonayich hamifunakim asher golu mimech, your children. The ultimate tzar is to lose children. And here the Churban is being described as the future of Klal Yisrael. Okay, there are many elements to Churban. Talk about the Holocaust. What was the most frightening element of the Holocaust? That from the 6 million Jews that were killed, 1.5 million, between 1 and 1.5 million of those were children. Okay, what's the Churban children is the future. Okay, if there are no children, there is no future. You have Zekanim, a Moshe of Zekanim, what's it going to do for the future of Klal Yisrael? It's always the very big debate, who to save. If you have a limited resource, you only can save limited people, should you save children or should you save the Zekanim? And it's a very difficult balance, because if there are no children, there is nothing. But on the other hand, if you only save the children, they don't have anyone to look up to. They don't have a dugma of the Dor HaYoshan, then the children, what are you saving? The children will be lost. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says they will save Rabbi Tzadik. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai begged the Kesar, save Rabbi Tzadik. Rabbi Tzadik was 100 years old. How much longer does he have in this world? What benefit was he to the next generation? The answer is we don't appreciate that. Just him being around created the moral conscience of Klal Yisrael was uplifted, and it changed their attitude in life. It's very hard to relate to this. I mean, you have to fully see what's going on to get a full appreciation of this principle. And the same issue was in the Holocaust. The same issue was limited resources. Who's to save? Should you save Rabbanim? Should you save children? Should you save? Who should be saved? These were questions that there were no answers to. No one at the Grace of Plates, it was just a matter of mazel. Who ended up in the right place at the right time to make such decisions? Who should get a visa? Who should not? Who can make these decisions? Who really knows? Okay, so then they're still complaining. They're still
children transports.
The kinder transport. That is correct. That is correct. So that's right. I mean, whatever was done, we don't second guess anyone. We were not there to understand the situation. There were many situations where children were given priority, and there were situations where Rabbanim were given priority. So, I mean, who's not for us to judge. And then there's questions, why religious, when there were resources to save people, why were funds allocated to save Orthodox Jews and not save irreligious Jews? And then there are questions of why people save their own relatives versus saving equality. Make a lottery. Why are you giving away tickets to your own relatives when you should give the tickets just to have a fair lottery? It's chas v'shalom for anyone to go back and second guess. There's so much been written, so much been discussed about these issues, and obviously they're very, very super complicated. Here it discusses the mourning of children. Karchi v'goyzi al b'nei ta'anu goyich, your delicate children. And pull out your hair with your own hands or with a utensil. Why they're all going into Golas? Let's finish up the Mitzudos. The Goyim Yisam b'Misparayim Derech Tzar ve'Evel Al Benach Hamufunakim Asher Gol Mimech Harchivi Kar Chaseich Kanesha. Rip out your wide, widen your balls like a nesh, like an eagle, a bald eagle. Asilach karcha ruchava kanesher hazeh asher achas la'eser shanim yagbia lu'uf ad ha'avir ho'elyoin samach l'gavir la'shemesh. He's now waxing midrashic. Okay, instead of waxing poetic, he's waxing midrashic here. Now what's the nesher? There's a famous chazal that says the nesher is a mythical creature. It's not the eagle, it's not a vulture, it's not something that we have any understanding of. It's a mythical creature which lives for 1,000 years, a whole very fascinating measure. Part of that measure says that every once in a while, it goes all the way up and flies to the sun. It leaves this world and flies to the sun. And the closer it gets to the sun, the hotter it is. And as it gets to a hot region of the sun, the heat of the sun burns off its feathers. It's here, and it's completely bald. And then it collapses, it faints, and comes back down to this world. And this cycle repeats itself every couple of years. Amcholia. Whatever it is. Okay. Whatever it is.
Look,
what
might be another idea here.
Yeah.
The leaves are...
It falls down.
Okay,
Noshar.
So he's talking about
Kalach. Here, beautiful. Loshain of Kalman is saying Loshain Neufel al Haloshain. The word Nesher means to Noshar. It means to fall away. To fall away. The hair is falling away. When you cut your hair is falling away. So we're specifically focusing on the word Nesher, on the noun Nesher, in order that it should be a continuation of the poetry of Micha. Loshain Neufel al Haloshain. Very beautiful idea.
What you said before about Skenim and Yahrim, Rabbi said after Bayit Rishon, after El Churban, Od Yeshvu, Zekenim Uzkenot, Berchovot Yerushalayim, Biladim Biladot, Misachkim Berchovotea. What's this here? He tells them, you are going to return. You are going to be old people. And Yeladim, you'll be children, grandchildren, whatever. Both of you are going to sit down. They will see you,
and you will see them. That's the bracha. The heishiv levavos albanu levavonim albanos. You need both. You have to have a balance. There has to be a balance of both. And that's always very difficult. How to create that balance? How to whatever it is. Okay, let's go further over here in the Mitzvot David. A widen your bald spot like a nesher. Asilach karcha rechava kanesher azeh asher achas lesser shadim. When in 10 years, it says here in the Mitzvot 10 years. It could be some of the midrashim do not say the word 10 years. They say something else. Yagbia lo'uf aro avir elyon. They go all the way up to Shemayim. Samach legach lashayish umeroyv hachoyim yimortu kinafav. Their wings fall off. The sepal noitzasoy and the feathers fall. V'yishoer kereach. Karchois rechavois, wide spots, wide bald spots. So here, kigolu mimech, this is what you should do, because who's being exiled? Golu mimech, b'nei ta'anugoyach, you're delightful, you're enjoyable, your delicate children are going to Golus. Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi. So we look over here, there's a basic pshat in the Pasuk. Now we're going over here for a ride, many other perushim in the Pasuk. It's late because today is Rosh Chodesh. We're going to finish up Rosh in 1 minute. Kei pasik tezvav oir hayoresh avilach oivim sheyorishu oisach the yarshim which will possess you, will inherit you at hayoshevis bimareisha. Okay, so again, Hirashi is not explaining the significance of the word the yoresh. Okay, we already discussed that, but basically Hirashi here means, like we said before, that the enemy is coming. And in the simple context of the pasuk, the enemy refers to Nebuchadnezzar, those who live in Moresha, Yoresh Limoresha, Lashon Noifel Al Halashon, like we discussed. Ad Adulam Shehu Lifnimin HaGvul Yiskor Ochor, they will go backwards. So the people who are inside the boundaries, so he's teaching here the word. Does not seem to be saying the word Adulam means a city. Shu lifnimin agvul, yisoig achar, you will go backwards. Let's go further, let's just do further. V'yavoy kivoyd Yisrael, sheyichbishu ha'ayvim migvulam ad Adulam. The enemy will conquer from their boundary, from the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, ad Adulam. Kein tirgim yoynesan, ad Adulam yeitoin Bitchum Arad Yisrael, they will possess. And therefore, what is the consequence? The consequence is that the Kavod Yisrael will have to be withdrawn. He appears to be giving us a different interpretation. Not like the Mitsudos that says that the enemy will take away the honor. They're not taking away the honor. The honor of Klal Yisrael is going to be withdrawn. Until now, where were the honor of Klal Yisrael are their boundaries. It's our land. We have sovereignty. Where does the honor of the land of Klal Yisrael go? Until the boundary. But now that the enemy is attacking and we have to withdraw and we have to relinquish, we have to give up territory, so the Kavod Yisrael is being limited, it's being confined to a much smaller space. So according to Rashi so far, the positive trail is Od Hayarish Avi Loch Yeshavis Moresha. The enemy is coming. He's going to conquer this city called Moresha. He's going to go further, Ad Adulam. He's going to conquer all the way until Adulam. And thus, that expansive territory that was until this point in time under your authority, which was your honor, Yavoi, it will now be withdrawn. Mesoy Gachar, it's now going to have to be withdrawn and confined and limited to a smaller area than you had until now. Further than Rashi, Rashi then goes on to say, "Amirish Agada Shemati Mishmoy Shlom Rabbi Menachem." Okay, very appropriate that today is Chodesh Menachem Av. Is it called Chodesh Av or Chodesh Menachem? I saw them yesterday, 2 days ago, that somehow that they're really 2 months this month. There's a Chodesh Av, and Chodesh Av goes until the 15th day of the month, and then starting with Tu B'Av, it's a different month. It's Chodesh Menachem. Two different months. At Kidei Kach, there was a very big shail of a get that was given, and they wrote in the get, Chodesh Menachem. Question, was the get a kosher get? Is it this concept that it should be called Menachem such a halachic, is it correct lahalacha? That in a get. Well, we never heard of it because today we live in the global melting pot and everything is the same. One size fits all.
But
after the 15th. After the 15th day. Until the 15th day, it's called Chodesh Av. Mm-hmm. After the 15th day, it's called Chodesh Menachem. And we but when they bench Chodesh, they say Chodesh Menachem Av. Somehow it's correct. You don't put the two together. That there's no nechama until after the 15th day. All right, whatever it is. But over here, we have just one point over here. Rabbi Menachem, today's Rosh Chodesh Av. We're hoping for the nechama. Oid hayarish avilach ruuim hoye bnei elam lirash es eretz Yisrael shuhu hoye bechor levnei shem. So this is something that we did. And maybe we have to just rush it forward. We have to go over next time because it's very, very late. This is an idea that's similar but very different than what we began with when we started the shiur. When we started the shiur, we did not go back to Maaseh Bereishis. We went back, we fast-forwarded to Yaakov and Esav. Esav is always claiming, I am the Yoresh. As Rabbi Mayevsky mentioned, Bini Hashem came to reaffirm that, Bini B'chori Yisrael. But there's another Bechor, And who's the Bechor? The Bechor of Shem. Avram Avinu, we are all descendants of Avram Avinu is a descendant of Shem, but not from the firstborn. Elam, Ruuyim, Hayu, what?
Elam was the
Bechor. And that totally, when you know this little secret, it totally changes the Purim story. The whole Purim story is about Paras Umodai. And the capital of Paras was not Shushan Habira. The real capital of Paras was Elam. The only reason why Shushan became the capital was because Ahasuerus was an egomaniac, like beyond belief, and the Kisei, he had an imitation of the Kisei Shlomo constructed in a factory somewhere in Rhode Island, in a big open area near the garbage dump. They made for him, the factory, put together his Kisei HaKavod, his throne that was an imitation. And then when it came time to transport it, they realized the George Washington Bridge is not wide enough to bring it over to Elam. So what did he do? So outrageous, huh? So he moved the capital to the factory. He moved the capital to the factory, and he made Shushan the capital. That's not the real capital. The real capital is Elam. Elam is the Bechor of Shem. The whole story of Purim with Haman, it's not just Haman is coming. Haman is a descendant of Amalek, of Esav. There's another element in the story of Purim. It's where Shem's Bechor is all worked up. Why are the Jews dominant in this world? We are the Bechor. Everyone is always coming to say they're the Yoyrish. Everyone always wants a piece of the action. When someone's giving out money, everyone wants a lot of takers. When they recognize the greatness of Klal Yisrael, Elam, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, and now the Jews are itching, let's build a Bayis Sheni. No. Hashem destroyed you. If Hashem destroyed you, it goes to show that you were illegitimate. The proof is, Hashem destroyed you. So who does Hashem want to serve in the leadership role? Elam! Paras! It was the sparks. It was with the Bechor. Ru'uyim hayu b'nei Elam lirashas eretz Yisrael. Isn't that amazing? That's why the b'nei Esav, b'nei Haman, where were they? Everyone had a summer home in Eretz Yisrael. The sitna that was written in Eretz Yisrael, the letter, the stop order, came from the Aseres b'nei Haman, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. What are they doing there? They're Persians. What are they doing there? B'nai Elam is coming to be Toivea with the Bechor. Shem was the spiritual heir to Noach and the Melo. Who comes after? Shem, Chom, and Yefes? Elam. Shuhoi Bechor l'vnei Hashem. Uveshvil Ahavas Avoseichem. His Ha-si-boi-si-ha l'vnei Arpach-shod. And because of the love of your, it was given away. Instead of it going to Elam, the Bechor was given to a different son, to Arpachshad, at Ovies Kastim, Vies B'nei Elam Aleichem. And now Hashem is bringing the Kastim and B'nei Elam upon them in order to take back what they felt. We don't come from Elam, we come from Arpachshad, Arpachshad. They're coming to take it back. And that's what over here, what the pasuk over here is saying, the Yoyresh. Who is the Yoyresh? The Yoyresh here refers to the descendants of the Bechor of Shem. But by doing this, he's putting the entire story in a different, in Nevuah, in a different time period. Comes that now, Allah, Allah, we're finished over here. We have really three, one the pasuk can be addressing one of three time periods. Aderach Pshat. According to the Mitzudos and Rashi, we're discussing the time period of Nevuchadnezzar. According to the Drush that we discussed in the beginning, it's the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. And according to the Medrash Agada that Rashi quotes, it's the period, the miracle, the Golus of Paras Umodai. in between the Bayis Rishon and the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, there was Paras Umadai. They're coming now to possess Eretz, the Bnei Haman, the Sitna on Klal Yisrael. You're not getting this land. This land belongs to us, Elam, and Klal Yisrael has to be destroyed because the heir to Shane is Elam, is Persia, and that puts, again, that whole story in a different light. Okay, we'll stop here.